Okay, so if you have the white binder, we'll start on the page with the Sunday prayers on it, and in the gold prayer book, we'll start on page 34, and we will chant the Shakyamuni Buddha mantra, and then the Medicine Buddha stanza and mantra, and then the four immeasurables. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, Lapis Light. Dayata Om Bekansay, Maha Bekansay, Raja Samudgate Soha. 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 Teata Om Bekansay, Maha Bekansay, Raja Samudgate Soha. Teata Om Bekansay, Maha Bekansay, Raja Samudgate Soha. Teata Om Bekansay, Maha Bekansay, Raja Samudgate Soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37. And we'll say the four immeasurables once in Tibetan, and then Tenrezig's mantra 8 times, and Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Sam Chen Tom Che De Wa Dong De. Pit May Hum. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re So Ha. 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 And the children can go to their classes now. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. As most people can tell, I'm not Geshe Galak. He's taking a well-deserved day off today after leading a very successful all-day Tara retreat yesterday. I'm Robbie Watkins. I've been a member here at the center since the early 90s, and sometimes, for lack of anything else, Donna puts me up here in front of you to lead the discussion. And it is a discussion. It's not a lecture or a talk. So the success depends on people's participation. Who do we have here who's here for the very first time today? Okay, great. How many people were here last week for the discussion on purification? Because that's what we're going to continue. But even if you weren't here, I think you'll get some value. But first, let's just take a couple minutes and introduce ourselves to other people here in the Gompa, the meditation room. Just say hello and good wishes. Jill, could I get the whiteboard again, please? Thank you. Oh, thank you. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Great. Thank you. I'm fine. I got some here. Thank you. Good morning again. Okay, let's come back to our seats. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, everyone come back. Okay. And let's see, we'll start with some announcements. There's always announcements about what's going on at Kadampa Center. Let's see, Donna, do you? Yeah. Why don't you just tell us briefly about the Tara retreat yesterday so those of us who weren't here can rejoice in that.
So we had a wonderful Tara retreat yesterday. We started at 6:15 in the morning, and we had about 30 people who participated all together. Not everybody was here all day long, but we had a good group in the morning, and we brought all the Taras into the middle of the Gompa and had a wonderful altar with lots of offerings, and Geshe-la always uses these opportunities to teach us more, even if he's led this retreat many, many times. So it was really a wonderful opportunity to learn more, deepen our practice, get to know each other better, and we had lots of good food and lots of good times. So we do Tara mini retreats are all, this is the first time we've done an all-day retreat, and we'll definitely be doing them throughout the year. So watch for the opportunities. And we do Tara practice every month of one kind or another, so don't miss those opportunities either. While I've got the microphone, just to let you know that in 2 weeks we're going to have visiting here one of our annual favorites, a very skillful, warm teacher who really specializes in bringing the Dharma home to us and how we can practice it in our daily lives, and that's Venerable Amy. Who likes to have joy in their lives? Well, she's going to talk to us about how we can do that. Her weekend workshop, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on January 29 and January 31 and February 1st and 2nd is on the path to joy, and she's going to be drawing both from the Lamrim, which is the Dharma text in our lineage, and also the wonderful Book of Joy, written by His Holiness and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. So don't miss the opportunity to come to it. Oh, yes, and Venerable Amy is also the author of the Buddhism in a Nutshell book that is used as a basis for the Buddhism in a Nutshell class that we offer several times a year. So she's a long-time nun, long-time practitioner, and really wonderful, so do come for that. And it looks like Elise has... Oh, and we'll have a newcomer orientation after the teachings in the here in the Gampa gathering in the back, and Jill will be here to lead you through that.
Hi, I'm Elise from Outreach, and we have a lot of wonderful, exciting outreach opportunities this coming month. Right now, we've already started the Share the Love food drive. That's ongoing through Valentine's Day. The final delivery will be made on Valentine's Day. We welcome people to contribute any kind of non-perishable food, because after the holidays, the donations just dribble in, and people are still hungry, so please help them out. Next, for those of you who are concerned about climate change, there's the Interfaith Care of Creation, which is a coalition of over 40 communities of faith, get together to see what we can do to help the environment based on our own ethics and spiritual beliefs. And there's going to be a presentation this coming Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. There's a flyer by the back door. It's going to be held at the Highland United Methodist Church. And it's a presentation based on drawdown solutions for climate change. So it's a very helpful and hopeful event if you want to hear more about climate change. It's based on this book here, The Most Comprehensive Plan Ever Proposed to Reverse Global Warming. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And the last thing, we're just starting advertisement here for the Triangle Interfaith Alliance. The annual dinner and meeting, we're going to be talking about how you can be inspired by leaders who are involved in local interfaith initiatives. You can learn how you connect with others and be part of positive change. That's going to be on Thursday, February 27th in the evening. And we're going to have Reverend Nancy Petty, who is the pastor of Pullen Baptist Church. She's a known social activist and an interfaith activist. Reverend Bruce Puckett, who is the Assistant Dean of the Duke University Chapel, and Professor Gupta, who is an NC State professor who is involved in interfaith activities with students. So we'll have these different perspectives, and it'll be a wonderful opportunity to connect with people of other faiths and cultures and learn how you can be part of positive change. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay. So save time for Emma at the end. Okay. How long is he going to take? Okay. And I think Donna is going to lead us in meditation to start today's session. Thank you, Donna.
So one of our opening prayers every Sunday is the Mani Mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. And a few months ago, Geshe-la taught us a really wonderful meditation. As you pointed out, he's got a book with 1,000 pages of different ways to meditate on this simple six-syllable mantra. And this is one that he taught us. So get yourselves comfortable, your back straight. If you're sitting on a cushion, sit a little towards the front of it. Your feet flat on the floor if you're in a chair. Your eyes lightly closed. Mouth is closed but not tight. You can have your hands in a in front of your body on your lap. The right hand on top of the left hand with the thumbs touching. And your upper arms a little bit away from your body. And this is just a position that helps you be stable and comfortable while you meditate. So the Om is white. And a bright white light flows from the Om into your body and fills you with that light that purifies pride. And then the light emanates from your body and it flows out to the people around you, touching everybody in this room. And it flows farther out into the world, touching everybody in the city and in the state, across the country, touching those we love and those we don't even know at all, those we don't care for. And the moment the light touches any being, it eliminates pride. The Ma is green, and a bright green light flows from the Ma into you and completely fills your body with this bright green light that eliminates envy. And as your body fills with this bright green light, the light then radiates from your body out into the room, touching those close to you, filling the room, filling the building, and touching everybody in this building, and then out into the neighborhood, into the city, across the state, touching every being. Ants and deer and squirrels, as well as people. And it flows out into the whole country and across the entire world. And the moment this bright green light touches any being, it completely purifies envy. And the knee is bright yellow. And this bright yellow light flows from the knee and completely suffuses your body. You're filled with bright yellow light. And this light overcomes doubt. And as it fills your body, it overflows and radiates from your body, touching everyone close to you. It fills the room, spreads out into the neighborhood, flowing farther and farther, touching everybody in the city of Raleigh, in the triangle, in the state, flowing out to cover the whole world. And the minute this bright yellow light touches any being, it eliminates doubt. And the syllable PED is dark blue and eliminates ignorance. And this bright, dark blue light flows from the PED and fills your body. And as your body is filled with this light, it begins to emanate from your body, radiating out to touch everyone in this building, every being nearby, birds, cockroaches, earthworms, cats and dogs, other people. It spreads out across the city and the state and all of North America, all of the countries of the world, covered in blue light. And the moment it touches any being, it eliminates ignorance. The syllable may is red and eliminates attachment. And a bright red light flows from the syllable may and fills your body. There's no room left for any attachment. And then the light begins to radiate from your body, touching every being close to you, filling all the space in the building, reaching out into the whole city, the whole of this country, all of the Americas, filling the oceans and the beings there, covering the entire world, earth, oceans, and sky. And the moment it touches any being, it liberates them from attachment. The syllable HUM is dark blue or black and eliminates anger. And this bright dark blue light flows from the HUM and fills your body. Every atom suffused with this powerful light. And the blue light emanates from your body, filling the room and every being near you, reaching out farther, past what we know and what's familiar into the neighborhood and the city, all of the country, flowing into the oceans, rising into the sky, covering the entire planet with this deep, bright blue light. And the moment it touches any being, it eliminates anger. And we can relax back into the room.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. Today we're continuing our discussion of purification practice, which we did purification practice on New Year's Eve, where a lot of people came for Dorji Kadra, which is one purification practice. And then, as I said last week, this is something good to think about at the beginning of the year. You know, a lot of us spend some time at the start of the year cleaning our house. It's also good to clean up our karma to the degree that's available. All our teachers recommend, without exception, that we need to do lots of purification practice. They say particularly if we feel like we're stuck in our spiritual progress, if we can't meditate, if it seems like we're not going anywhere, that's usually an indication that we need to do some purification practice. So as we talked about last week, purification is a whole enormous group of practices in the Buddhist tradition. Let's see, I think we'll go with red today. Okay, purification. And these practices, that one's not too, is that, okay. Can people read that? It's not real dark. Yeah. Okay, we'll switch to the purple. Okay. Let's see if that's any better. By which we diminish or actually remove completely the negative karmic imprints on our mind stream. So it's based on a deep understanding of karma, the belief that everything we say, or everything we think, everything we say, everything we do makes an imprint on our mind stream that determines our future experience, that we will experience in the future. Okay? So both positive actions, good things we think, good things we say, good things we do, make imprints that will result in happiness in the future. Negative imprints, negative things we think, negative things we say, negative things we do, make imprints that we will experience as suffering. Our own suffering, our own unhappiness, our own problems in the future. But as Geshe-Lakshmi says, the one good quality that negative actions have is that they can be purified. Okay? So that's a very positive. Now, how about good actions? What can we do with them besides experience their results?
Rejoice,
but what's the bad thing about good actions, if we can put it that way? Good karmic imprints can be destroyed by anger. Okay? So that anger burns up good karma. That's something to be aware of, but the good thing about negative actions, negative karma, is it can be purified. It can be actually lessened or completely removed from our mind stream so that we don't inevitably experience the results. So the logical conclusion is, if we're having problems in our life right now, if work isn't going good, or we're having relation problems, or any kind of problems in our life now, those are the results of negative actions in the past. Negative things that we've said, thought, said, or done. Okay? So that's an indication that purification practice would be useful. It's not necessarily going to make those problems disappear immediately, but it would prevent us from having similar problems in the future. And this is a point that came up last week that I want to be real clear on. If we purify a negative action, it doesn't mean that that action didn't happen. Okay? We're not changing the past. If we killed someone and we work on purifying that action, they're not going to come back to life. Okay? What we're working on is the imprint on our mind, the imprint that that action left on our mind stream that will inevitably cause us to experience unhappiness in the future. And when we talk about purification, we always bring up Lama Atisha as the great example. We have a statue of him here on the altar. Lama Atisha, you know, is very far along in his spiritual practice. It's said that if he was out riding, you know, from one monastery to the other in his horse back in medieval Tibet, and just a single negative thought crossed his mind, you know, a little bit of irritation or a little bit of craving, he would right then and there stop his horse, get off, get down on one knee and do a purification practice. He was so convinced of how important it was to purify his negative karma. Okay? So, when we talk about this, we didn't touch on this. Let's go through the four opponent powers first, review those. So a complete purification practice has four components, the four R's, and reading, writing, and arithmetic are not three of those four R's. So the first R is refuge, okay? And somebody tell me what refuge is. What's refuge? Yeah, turning to your root spiritual values, what your core, what you look to when things are going tough. If we're Buddhist, we return to the Buddha, the historical figure, who was a human being like us who achieved enlightenment in this lifetime. The Dharma, the teachings that he left to guide us on the path that he followed. And the Sangha, which is the other people following that path. So we take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, as we did in our prayers, first part of the session. So the first R is refuge. The second is?
Regret.
Okay. Regret. And what is regret? Yeah, okay, yeah, it is going to cause problems, yeah. It would have been better if you had not thought that. It would have been better if you had not said that. It would have been better if you had not done that, okay? And we always make the point that this is not guilt, which is a word that the Tibetans really have problems with, but here in the West we're very familiar with it. We're all good at practicing guilt. Guilt, I am a bad person because I did this, okay? Because I did this, I am a bad person, and I deserve to suffer, okay? The regret is saying it would have been better if I had not done this because it will cause problems, but I am not inherently a bad, wicked, evil person, okay? So,
call to action,
okay. Yeah, so the second part of a complete purification practice is regret. The third part is the remedy, okay? And what does that mean? If you can fix it right now, if you've been mean to someone or if you've stolen from someone, say you can apologize, You can return what you've stolen. Okay, if you've spoken harshly, you can apologize. But if you're not able to do that, if either it happened many, many years ago and you still regret it, or you're thinking about, if you have a concept of previous lifetimes that I've done these actions in the past, then this may involve a formal practice such as visualization, reciting mantras, doing prostrations, all sorts of things. And this is where a teacher comes in, very useful. They can give you specific practices to do. But we'll talk today briefly about Vajrasattva practice, which is one that our teachers recommend pretty much across the board. It says everybody needs to do Vajrasattva practice, and we'll talk about what that involves. And the fourth part of a complete purification practice is the resolve, okay? Making a commitment not to do that negative action or those negative actions for the next hour, for the next day, for the rest of this lifetime. It has to be realistic if you want to put another R in there. You know, saying you're never going to speak harshly for the rest of your lifetime is probably not realistic. But even if we make a realistic resolve, there's a good chance we'll break it. But that's okay? You know, we understand that we're not perfect, okay? So these are the four parts of a complete purification practice. Any questions or comments about those words? People understand what we're talking about here? So it's a mental process. We're using the mind to purify the mind, okay? Very interesting psychologically that the mind has the ability to purify itself. When we're just starting off, we're weakening those negative karmic imprints. It's said that we have to have a true realization of emptiness, the way things exist, to remove them completely. But they can be removed if we develop that. But right now, we're basically just weakening their strength on us, okay? We're not removing them completely, okay? Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, okay, so what kind of things do we want to purify? If we're thinking just about this lifetime, what do we want to purify? Give me an example. What kind of things would we want to purify?
Anger, jealousy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? Yeah. Feelings towards your parents, okay. Negative feelings towards politicians. Anybody? But nobody here has any of those, yeah. Anyway, the Buddha said there are 10 negative actions that most of us have committed at one time in the past. Maybe in this lifetime and we can remember them, if not in previous lifetimes. There are 10 negative actions that make negative imprints on our mind stream that will cause us suffering. Okay, and there are three of them. Three of body. There are four of speech. And there are three of mind. Okay. That sounds like the 10 deadly sins or the 10, but we'll talk a little bit about why these are negative. Okay. What are the three negative actions of body?
Killing.
Stealing. Stealing. And sexual misconduct, which means generally having sex with someone else's partner or in a way that causes pain, mental or physical. Okay? Three negative actions of body. What are the ones of speech?
Lying.
Divisive speech. Speech that separates people. Okay? Harsh speech, Or frivolous speech, yeah. Okay. And what are the three negative actions of mind? Ill will. There's one before, yeah. Ill will, you know, anger, we can say anger, yeah. Ignorance is the last one, yeah. Yeah. Next is covetousness. Covetousness, craving. Ignorance, referring to a lack of understanding of the way things are. Lack of understanding of karma. Lack of understanding rebirth and so on. Doesn't mean not having read a lot of books. So these are 10 negative actions, okay? In the first category, killing is the heaviest, the strongest, and they decrease, okay, in that order. In speech, lying is the most powerful, makes the heaviest negative imprint. And in mind, they go in the opposite direction, ignorance making the biggest imprint. Okay, why are they, no, the Buddha's, so we should avoid these because the Buddha said to avoid them, because he was the God and told us what to do. What's the first reason we want to avoid these actions? Yeah, they cause us, when we do these, they create the cause for us to suffer. So it's enlightened self-interest, okay? You know, Buddha said, you know, if you want to suffer, have at it. Go ahead and keep doing these, okay? If that's what you're into, if that's your trip, go ahead, kill, steal, have sexual misconduct. But if you don't want to suffer, the Buddha's saying, I'm going to say, in general, it's best to avoid these actions because they cause problems. Or as Geshe Gelug says, they cause complications. Okay, if your life is problematic, if things seem really complicated, it means you've done these in the past, more than likely. Okay, now theoretically, an enlightened person could do all of these without creating any negative karma, but I'd say most of us probably aren't at that stage in the game, okay? But he was saying for most of us, we do these, we will suffer. Okay, so that's the first reason to avoid them. What's the next reason to avoid them? They cause suffering for others, okay? That's a higher level of spiritual practice. It's based on bodhicitta, the wish to benefit others. Maybe we can't really benefit others, but at first, at least we can try to stop harming others, okay? And these are the actions that tend to harm others when we do them, okay? So if we can't do positive actions, at least we can avoid doing these as much as possible. As Venerable Rabina says, zip your lips and keep your hands to yourself. First level of spiritual practice, okay? This is what we're talking about when we talk about Buddhist ethics, which is the foundation of all Buddhist practices. You know, we think, oh, Buddhism is about sitting on a cushion and having all these great meditations. But it has to be based on a layer of ethical behavior. If we're spending our day, you know, weekdays killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, it's hard to come to Kadampa Center on Sunday morning and have a valuable meditation. You know, our minds will be very distracted. Okay? So ethical behavior, which means generally avoiding harming others, more specifically avoiding these actions, is the basis of all Buddhist spiritual practice. Okay? So we avoid these, and then we try to cultivate the opposite, okay? If we're at that level, rather than just saying, oh, I didn't kill today, okay, I didn't kill anyone, yay for me, maybe we can actually save a life somehow, okay? We can do an animal liberation. we can give to a, you know, a charity that saves lives. Hey, I didn't steal anything today. That's great, okay? But the next level, you know, above and beyond that, give. Be generous, okay? Return something that you've taken that's not yours, okay? Instead of lying, I mean, it's hard to go through a whole day without lying, but at least try to tell the truth. Divisive speech that brings people together. Harsh speech, great to avoid it, but kind speech is even better, okay? So depending on where we are in our life situation, in our spiritual practice, we can start by trying to avoid these, the ones of body being the easiest, the ones of speech being more difficult, the ones of mind being incredibly difficult, to avoid those, and then we can also begin cultivating their opposites. Okay? So we avoid creating more negative karma. It's called negative karma because it will cause us to suffer. Probably will cause others to suffer, but it certainly will cause us to suffer. And then we try to create positive karma, which is what the people who are doing the Tara practice were yesterday. They were creating merit. Okay, so I don't think there was a lot of killing, stealing, or sexual misconduct going on during that. Yeah. Okay, so they weren't creating that, but they were creating positive karma by doing the Tara practice. Okay, I think we've got a comment. Wait, if you can wait for the mic. How many people do we have out in the world listening, Chris?
Seven,
okay.
Hey, some days I'm one of those seven. So you mentioned the, I have two questions, but you mentioned one about the imprinting, the biggest imprint, you kind of said it top to bottom, right?
Yeah.
Except for the mind one.
Right.
So say, for example, you know that if you told the truth to somebody, it would hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
You know, cause suffering. And
yeah.
So, you know, when somebody comes up to you and say, oh, did this person talk about me or say something about me? And you know that maybe those words were harsh or they were, you know, not good in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
So in your mind, you think, well, I'm not going to, oh, no, nothing was said. Everything's okay. Because I don't want to cause suffering for that person,
yeah.
Even when I know that speech was frivolous that somebody had said or of, you know, ill will or whatever. I don't want to continue that. But lying has a greater imprint than the frivolous speech or
yeah.
the harsh speech.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I'm like, well, maybe I'm not doing what's a good idea.
Yeah.
Even though my intention is to not cause harm.
Right.
So that's my first question. And then
okay, well, let's talk about that because that's a good one. That's where wisdom comes in. And most of us are somewhat deficient in wisdom, in that we don't have the ability to see the effects of our actions. We can kind of guess, but we don't truly know what their effect is going to be. That's one part of it. Next part I would say is, that's why samsara sucks, okay? Sometimes we have two bad choices, and we have to choose the least bad, okay? There is no way, you know, we are in samsara, this cycle of suffering, and we're continually faced with bad choices. And we just have to try and use what wisdom we have to choose the better of two choices. I mean, you know, sometimes we can voluntarily take on the negative karma of lying if we really think about it and really think that's going to be the best thing. But if we do that consciously, we'd be wise to purify pretty soon, okay? Because these things grow in strength the sooner we purify them, okay? I can assure you that everybody here killed on the way to Kadampa Center this morning. I mean, if just insects on your windshield, okay? And that's what being in samsara is like. You know, you're going to Kadampa Center for spiritual practice, but by being in samsara, to get there, you have to kill countless insects. Okay, so that's why we have to be doing purification all the time. Does that address, yeah. Anybody else want to comment on that? Yeah, Elise. So if, yeah, if you can wait for the mic, please.
I remember one time Geshe-la telling a story about someone asked the same question, you know, somebody asks you a question and to tell the truth would hurt them. He said that sometimes redirection is a good technique.
Mm-hmm.
And he told some story about some monks in the forest, and there was a deer being chased by hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunters, they saw the deer run off, and the hunters came and asked the monks, so did the deer go this way? And they said something like, he could have gone that way. You know, or just without actually telling a lie, which, you know, it just kind of develops a habit.
You know,
can redirect things. Mm-hmm. Like if someone says, does this shirt look good on me? Oh, it's a really nice color. Something like that.
Okay. Let's see. Anybody else? And you had another question?
I think you answered it earlier, but I just wanted to know, because you mentioned sort of the, again, greatest to least imprint, and it made me wonder, as you were talking about killing, I didn't kill today, yay for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm thinking, well, that also is more of a reflection of my mind, reflecting on my action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then is it a greater imprint if I look at the mind and focus on that, and then the body and speech sort of happen? Does that make sense? Is there a greater imprint on the last group versus the first two?
Yeah. Well,
or does that matter? Is that totally
Yeah, off? I think the last one is so much harder. We may find it very frustrating if we say, I'm not going to think any angry thoughts today. Yeah. Maybe we should stick with I'm not going to kill or I'm not going to steal. I mean, not that we should cultivate angry thoughts, but we need to understand what we're capable of. Yeah. And for most people, starting with the body and developing some control over the actions of the body is easier than controlling the mind. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
I have one for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I started doing regret towards self-healing mm-hmm. than outside that I did something so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I ate some wrong food or if I gave in to people going out and eating, that harms my health.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things kind of started feeling better than that I have done so much something bad.
Yeah.
Than
mm-hmm.
towards bringing myself into
mm-hmm.
the focus. Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And reading always stresses me, so because I think we are so trained to study for exams.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I see a book, I'll be like nervous. Oh, can I finish it? So I started doing as I was studying for prepping for exams. I started studying like I will read with compassion
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
me. And then I felt like, oh, I could do three chapters in one sitting. That's
yeah.
such a big deal.
And rejoice in that. Yeah, great. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. See, I wanted to talk about Vajrasattva. Do we have the little booklets? Do we not have one? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you can find. Okay, so I think people have some sense of what purification is about, hopefully some sense of why we need to do it, some sense of what a complete purification practice is. And I just wanted to introduce people to a practice that's called Vajrasattva. Oh, can I borrow that? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, this is... Thank you very much. Don't let me walk off with it. That would be stealing. Yeah. Okay. And there are lots of different purification practices that our teachers give us to do. And in the FPMT, the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition, the larger organization that we're part of, Lama Zopa, our spiritual leader, has over and over again recommended Vajrasattva practice. And he actually encourages people to do 3-month Vajrasattva retreats, if that's at all something that you can fit into your schedule, doing Vajrasattva practice. And there are a lot of people in our organization who have done that. There are lots of different versions of this practice. both written by Rinpoche and by others. This little booklet is published by the Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive. It's one version of Vajrasattva Practice. In the volume 2 of the SPMT prayer book, there's a short Vajrasattva meditation. This is one we just use on for specific practices here. We don't distribute it, but we have a bunch of copies there, and you can order this online from the FPMT. There's a short Vajrasattva meditation by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And then there's this entire book published by the FPMT called The Preliminary Practice of Vajrasattva, if you want a very extensive version of Vajrasattva purification practice. Okay, so, and then you can find others online, but it's something that is really emphasized in the FPMT, and it's a practice that a lot of people here at Kadampa Center do on a regular basis. It is a tantric meditation, involves visualizing of deities and visualizing of self, but it's one of the rare tantric meditations that it said you're given permission to do without having had an initiation. So it's something that's talked about very openly and publicly. And there is a visualization of Vajrasattva that is part of the meditation. If you could just pass it around, get people to look at it, that's Vajrasattva. We don't have a large Vajrasattva tanka, do we?
That actually is one.
Is that Vajrasattva?
So
after the teachings, you can come up and look. This second tanka is Vajrasattva, white, handsome, sitting on a lotus, and there are lots of other features that I'm not going to discuss this morning. But it is a visualization that you can do without having had the initiation. And along with the visualization, there's the mantra of Vajrasattva. And who would like to recite the 100-syllable mantra for us? Anybody want to do it? Okay. Hemet, thank you. Yes, it's 100 syllables, but... It has a little bit of a rhythm to it, and it's really not that hard to get down.
Do you really want me to sing, actually?
Just recite it if you can, yeah.
It says, Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Tenopatita Rido Me Bhava Sutokayo Me Bhava Supokayo Me Bhava Anurakto Me Bhava Sarva Siddhim Me Prayacha Sarva Karma Sucha Me Sistam Jiyam Kurum Hum Ha 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 Ho Bhagavan Sarvatathagata Vajre Mame Muncha Vajre Bhava Mahasamaya Sattva Ahom Pe.
Hey. Yeah, and Hemet is one of the members of Kadampa Center who's done 100,000 Vajrasattva mantras. What does it mean? Okay, Hemet, can you tell us, give us the meaning?
In short, yeah. Rather than going each syllable, it's basically saying keep the samaya, meaning keep the pledge, keep the comfort, keep the friendship, give me the power, give me the strength, stay with me and purify me.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's a distillation of the memory. The actual translation of these mantras, which are typically in Sanskrit, can be incredibly obscure and confusing. I'll read the literal translation of the mantra. You, Vajrasattva, have generated the holy mind according to your pledge. Your holy mind is enriched with the simultaneous holy actions of releasing transmigratory beings from samsara. Whatever happens in my life, happiness or suffering, good or bad, with a pleased holy mind, never give up, but please guide me. Please stabilize all happiness, including the happiness of the upper realms, actualize all actions and sublime and common realizations, and please make the glory of the five wisdoms abide in my heart. So So that's a pretty straightforward one. That's not an exact translation, but that gives you some sense of what the meaning is. So Vajrasattva is an aspect of enlightenment, okay? He represents the ability to purify. He also represents the embodiment of the teachings. All of these images you see around here are the medicine Buddha. We did his mantra earlier. We have green Tara, white Tara, Avalokiteshvara. These are all aspects of enlightenment, the mind that is completely compassionate and completely wise. So Vajrasattva is an aspect of enlightened mind, and the meditation is based on visualizing Vajrasattva and reciting the mantra as the purification practice. So I wanted to lead us to a very abbreviated version of this practice. Let's see. Some people are not familiar with the image of Vajrasattva. That's okay. That's not important. You don't have to do that to actually do the practice as we're going to do it today. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. So in the gold prayer book. Yeah. Okay. So let's just recite the mantra one time, or practice it. I'll say it and you can say it after me. This is not a formal transmission of the mantra. That you would get from Geshe Gelug or another teacher who's received the actual lineage on Vajrasattva. So just recite it after me. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya Vajrasattva Tenupatishta Drido Me Bawa Suto Me Bawa Supo Me Bawa Anurakto Me Bawa Sarasiddhi Memparyatsa Sarakama Sutsame Sitam Shriyam Kuru Hum Ha 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 ho Bhagavan Sarvatathagata Vajramame Muncha Vajrabhava Mahasamuya Sattva Ahum Pe. So now I think most of you have it memorized. So when we get to the mantra recitation, you can either read that or you can just say Om Vajrasattva, Om Vajrasattva, Om Vajrasattva over and over again. Okay? So, dun, 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 let's see. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So, let's establish our meditation posture. And we'll do a very brief Vajrasattva practice. And there are many different ways of doing this practice. So if you're interested in doing it, you can read up on them. Check your posture. Your back is nice and straight. Your head is straight on your shoulders. Not tilted to one side or the other. Your eyes are either slightly open or lightly closed. Mouth is lightly closed, not clenched. Shoulders are down and back a little bit, so your chest is open. Upper arms are away from the sides of your torso. Right hand on left with thumbs touching slightly below the level of your navel. If you're sitting in a chair, your feet are flat on the floor and it's fine to put a cushion underneath your feet. If you're sitting on a cushion, sit a little bit towards the front and have your legs in a comfortable position. So just check your posture now and look for any sources of discomfort or stress and adjust them now so that they don't become a problem during the meditation. And we'll begin just by focusing on our breath for a couple minutes. Just the movement of the breath in and out through our nostrils. This helps stabilize our mind for the meditation to follow. And we take a moment to establish our motivation for the practice that's to follow, with the understanding that the bodhicitta motivation, the aspiration to become enlightened for the benefit of all sentient beings, is the most powerful and the most beneficial motivation. And having established our motivation, we now begin the actual practice. The first part of the practice is taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And I'm going to read the specific refuge prayer that Lama Zopa Rinpoche has given us to do as part of this practice. And you can just think about what it means as I read it. It may not be completely clear, but develop a real sense of going for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and in all the three vehicles, in the Dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, in the empowering goddesses and the bodhisattvas, but most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and in all the three vehicles, in the Dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, in the empowering goddesses and the bodhisattvas, but most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. I forever take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and in all the three vehicles, in the Dakinis of secret mantra yoga, in the heroes and heroines, in the empowering goddesses and the bodhisattvas, but most of all, I take refuge in my holy guru forever. And next, we generate a sense of regret. We bring to mind specific negative actions of body, speech, and mind that we've done in this lifetime. Maybe just in the last week or two, things that we regret doing. Or we can imagine the negative actions that we've done in previous lifetimes that we don't even remember. And we think that having these negative imprints on my mental continuum is unbearable. It's as if I've swallowed a lethal poison. I must practice the antidote right away and purify all this negative karma immediately, without a second's delay. So we generate a deep sense of regret accompanied by urgency. I have to purify and I have to do it now. And now we move to the remedy. We establish the visualization of Vajrasattva, which just means our ability to imagine. Vajrasattva is in space in front of us, at the level of our forehead, three-dimensional, white, made of light, sitting on a lotus blossom, and gazing upon us with an expression of infinite compassion. And if that's too complicated, you can just imagine pure white light in front of you. And now we visualize that a stream of white light flows from Vajrasattva's heart and enters our body through the crown of our head. And we imagine that all our negative actions of body are being purified by that white light. As we recite the mantra, we can either recite the 100-syllable mantra or just say Om Vajrasattva. And you articulate that with your lips, but say it silently. So it's said so the person sitting next to you can't really hear you. So we'll do that for the first part of the purification practice, the first part of the remedy. Visualize that all our negative actions of body are being purified. Om Vajrasattva, Om Vajrasattva. And now we maintain the visualization of the white light flows into our body, purifying all our negative actions of speech in this lifetime and countless previous lifetimes. And we continue to recite the mantra. Om Vajrasattva, Om Vajrasattva. And continuing with the visualization, we now visualize that all our negative actions of mind are being purified as we continue to recite the mantra. Om Vajrasattva, Om Vajrasattva, Om Vajrasattva. And now we visualize that Guru Vajrasattva says, "Child of the race, your negativities, obscurations, and broken and damaged pledges have been completely purified." And now the resolve, and I'll read it as Lama Zopa's written it. Before Guru Vajrasattva, I vow never again to commit these negative actions from which I can easily abstain, and not to commit for a day, an hour, or for at least a few seconds those negative actions from which I find it difficult to abstain. And now we visualize that Vajrasattva moves through space to the crown of our head, or the white light comes there and dissolves into us, completely filling our body with radiant, pure white light. Our body, speech, and mind become inseparably one with Guru Vajrasattva's enlightened body, speech, and mind. And to finish the practice, I'll read Lama Zopa Rinpoche's dedication. Due to all these merits of the three times collected by all the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and myself, and all other sentient beings, which appear to be real from their own side, but which are empty, may I, who appears to be real but is empty, achieve Guru Vajrasattva's enlightenment, which appears to be real but is empty, and lead all sentient beings who appear to be real but are totally empty to that enlightenment which appears to be real but is empty by myself alone, who appears to be real but is also totally empty, non-existent from my own side. And you can relax your concentration. That was a sprint through do a very simple version of a Vajrasattva practice. Like I say, there are many sources where you can read up on that if you're interested in pursuing that further. Any questions or comments before we do our dedication? Okay. Let's see, Susan Potter and then...
Thank you, Robbie. I'm inspired to, I mean, literally confess and vow among this group to do Vajrasattva practice for the next, well, what is today, the 18th? Through February 18th in the evening. I have developed a not so great habit of booting up my iPad the last thing at night and just checking the Washington Post and the New York Times, which I have digital subscriptions, to see what is the latest of world events and closer to home, and it's probably not the best thing for me to be doing in my day, and so thank you for this. I'm going to do a different practice, and so for the next 30 days, so okay. Thank you very much.
Great.
And Elise, where is that thing on Tuesday night? Highland, did you say? Okay, and that's on the corner of Lake Boone and Ridge Road. Sort issues. Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
Up here.
I just had a question about the recitation of the 100 syllable mantra. If, as you're saying it, you're kind of botching the pronunciation, which happens quite a bit. Is that kind of like being disrespectful, or is that negating some of the goodness that you're trying to create?
Well,
it's just okay to make do the action.
Well, if you've a couple of, you know, it's better to say it correctly.
Right.
Okay, that's why in a lot of practices at the end you do a request to not accumulate any negative karma for having messed up the mantra, and then if you make a commitment, say to say 107 mantras, you might want to do 110 or 112. But to account for the ones that you may have blown a little bit. Yeah. But again, as some understanding, we're not perfect. Okay, good. So let's do our dedication verses, and then I think we have one announcement.
Okay, we're starting from page 246 in the gold prayer book, and in the white binder, you'll be looking for Shanti Deva's dedication verses. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And now on page 244 and 245, we'll do the short long life prayers for Thoinis the Dalai Lama, for Kensu Rinpoche, Jetsun Lobsang Delic, and for Lama Zopa Rinpoche. In a land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Tenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the Yellow Hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And now seven green Tara mantras for the long lives of our precious teachers, Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sangpo. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. 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 And he might go on up for you.
So I've been asked to give you an announcement of Did You Know announcement. So it's done every Sunday. What was that? Oh, sorry. This is the Did You Know announcement. I don't know if you know already, but we are very fortunate to have Venerable Amy Miller coming here, and she's going to be leading a retreat. Weekend retreat is called The Path to Joy, and how wonderful is that? That's on January 31st to February 2nd. So I have a question for you. How many of you have read the book Buddhism in a Nutshell or participated in a teaching on Buddhism in a Nutshell? So in some way or form, you are familiar with her and know how valuable she is, right? And she has an extensive background in Buddhism, just to list a few things. She's trained as an emotional support hospice counselor during the peak of AIDS epidemic in San Francisco. Ordained as a Buddhist nun in June 2000 by great Tibetan master Venerable Chodron Rinpoche, and has been teaching extensively since 1992. Organized international teaching tours and led pilgrimages. She's taken people to Nepal, Sikkim, Bhutan, Laodo, name it. She's really, really good at that too. And she's also she was a director of Milarepa Center. It's a sister FPMT center in Vermont. And then she's led many, many courses, establishing and maintaining mindfulness to include death and dying, overcoming anxiety and depression, beating addiction, dealing with self-esteem issues, and also cultivating compassion and loving kindness, just to name a few. Okay? So during her visit later this month, she'll lead a retreat again, The Path to Joy. And so you may be wondering, in East, I'm familiar with it that in the East, a lot of people support, when Buddha was around, a lot of people supported the monks and the Buddhas with clothes, shelter, food, and financially. And in West, we have the same opportunity to support the teachings, not only the teachings, but create the causes and conditions for these teachings to occur for a long time, not for us, but also for future community members and children. So the way you can support Venerable Amy's teaching is with a $50 or more, you can do a personalized dedication posted on the sponsor wall outside here. And then with $108, a personalized dedication and an invitation to sponsor's tea. Okay, and that's usually held at the end of the retreat. And so I really want to thank you for the support, but most of all, just realize by supporting our teachers, you're supporting not only the teachings, but you're also supporting causes, you're creating causes and conditions for teachings to happen again and again and again. So I will again thank you for that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think there's we may have a recording of the Vajrasattva mantra by Venerable Lama. Yeah, is that online? Is that on the website, do you know? Yeah, if people want to learn it.
I have a recording of Lamala from 2016, and she has that very beautiful, clear pronunciation that we're all used to hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can figure out how to put it on the website with some help.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you. Okay, thank you, everyone.